Well, hallelujah. Yeah. Well, God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. There is nothing greater than experiencing God and knowing that he has given us an opportunity to be transformed. You know, the world was created for humanity and for the purpose of mankind having a relationship with God. God created this world so that we would interact with him. If you remember the historical account of Adam and Eve in the garden, that when Adam would meet with God in the cool of the day, the word of God tells us. It tells us that God actually would show up and meet with Adam and walk with him. And that's always been interesting because it shows us how personal God wants to be when it comes to a relationship with him. God wants to get to know us and us to get to know him. Not that he doesn't know us. Of course, he created us. And anything and anyone who creates anything knows the thing that was created on an intimate level. When you make something, when you design something, and when you make something to happen, you know the little details, you know the little things that even other people wouldn't notice or see. And the word of God tells us that God knows the number of hairs on our head. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, hallelujah. And so it's not always easy to know how many hairs are. Do you know how many hairs are on your own head? No. Well, I have an idea about, but I don't know how accurate I would be even at that, because there's a little bit of something there. And so God knows us intimately, and he has designed us to be a people who have something within us that desires to be in a relationship with God. And humanity, mankind, will worship something. Everyone worships something. In fact, I think it was Bob Dylan. He said, everybody serves somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but everybody serves somebody. And that is the truth. Everybody does serve someone. And the word of God describes as a God in your life as to someone that you worship, someone that you look up to, someone that you seek counsel from or advice from, and you listen and do whatever they say. It has this place that is uplifted in your life. And the word of God tells us that God wants to be in that place. And that is why when we are seeking counsel and we seek advice, even from one another, the word of God says we are to seek godly counsel. Godly counsel is counsel or advice that comes from, ultimately, God. It's rooted in the word of God, in the principles of God. And even the advice you're getting, if you go to another person, it's the source that they are drawing their resources from in order to give you the advice that you need. All information comes from somewhere. All information comes from somewhere. And if we are aware of where that information comes from, it helps us to place it in the right place in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. We apply it appropriately. There are some forms of advice that you just pretend like you never heard it, right? You just let it go. And depending on what the source is, you just let it go. And there are other things that you take a little more seriously. And as we receive information, it is impacting us in different ways based on our understanding of where it is coming from and what its purpose is. And we are talking this month about being prepared for the harvest. And the harvest in the Word of God, it represents those things that God brings about. There's a harvest. There's a harvest of souls where God speaks to people and they come to a realization that he is God and that he has come that they may have life and that he died for them and all the things that God has accomplished. That's a revelation that people have that comes from God. And when people have that revelation, there is a harvest. And you and I are sowers of the seed. We've been talking about this over the summer, and we have talked about the importance of sowing seeds. And the seed is the word of God. And that means what we are sharing is coming from the word of God. It could be on any topic, any subject. It's rooted in the word of God as we share it. We know that the word of God has literally thousands of subjects and topics that cover the broad span of life, life experiences, and all of the things that you and I will go through in life. The word of God speaks to literally everything. And you and I can trust its counsel as coming from God that when we apply it, we will reap the benefits of the designer. The designer. God is the designer who created the world and all that is happening, so he knows how things work. So when we apply biblical principle in our lives, we're actually following the program as it was designed to be lived out, as it was designed to operate and to function. When we do things any other way, regardless of where the information came from that gave you the idea, if it does not harmonize and synchronize with the principles of God, align itself with those truths, then you will find yourself suffering in a way that you could have avoided had you have followed a biblical principle. And that's why even people who don't follow God benefit in life, because they're following a biblical principle. And biblical principles work whether you believe God or not. As long as you do it the way God designed it to go and to work, it will work. And that is why the Lord says in the last days, when you come before the Lord, it says that people will stand before him and say, "But Lord, we healed in your name. We cast out devils. We did all kinds of miracles in your name." And God says, "Depart from me. I never knew you, worker of iniquity." It's not because you did miracles or didn't do miracles, and it's not even so much that you were able to do miracles or not to able to do miracles, because miracles and all these things are gifts from God that he has designed into creation. And so as we apply his word in our lives, we will have biblical results. Well, everybody has biblical results. It's just, is it the good results or is it the bad results? But everyone is living a biblical life, whether they acknowledge it or not, whether they realize it or not. Everyone is having a biblical life experience because the world was designed on the word of God. And when you follow the word of God, you will prosper. The word of God says. It says you will be blessed. It doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It just means you're going to be blessed. It's because you're following a biblical principle and the design in which things were made to work. And so when you follow that plan in that course, things will work together for your good because you're following the plan of God. And so what enables us to have an experience where we have eternal life, now that's a different matter altogether. It's a connected matter, but it is the matter of the heart. And it is the matter of whether or not you are placing your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross. Now we need to align our hearts and our motives and our ways with the will of God. And that can only happen when the Spirit of God comes into your life. And so you can externally follow biblical principles and prosper and have good experiences. In fact, to the degree that you follow biblical principles, that will be the degree to which you have good experiences in life. And that will be the degree to which you will have experiences that will keep you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all of the fruit of the Spirit will come to life in you the more you follow biblical principles. When you stray away from biblical principles, those attributes of God will be further and further away from you. And that's because they're designed into the creative work. But your salvation and your life expectancy beyond human life and existence is tied to your faith in Christ. It's tied to whether or not you have entrusted Christ with your very soul. Are you surrendering your soul to God? Has Christ come into your life? Are you saying, God, I am going to listen to your word and obey and apply its principles in my life? I want you to be my master. And if I were to sum it up, I would sum it up by saying, whoever you listen to and follow their advice over the word of God, that source is now your master. That source is now the very thing that you are serving. Because whatever they say, you're doing whatever they say. You're following their directions. And that is why you and I need to know the word of God, so that we can follow the directions of God. And not only do we have that as a resource, we have the Spirit of God. And so now you have the Word of God and the Spirit of God bringing life to the Word of God. And that ignites in your heart and it transforms you into new life. And so being born again or born anew is not so much just the fact that you believe. The question is, did you receive? Because God is imparting something to us when we receive Christ. And that is what we need to ensure. We need to ensure that we have received the Spirit of God. Jesus said, if you do not have the Spirit, then you are not His. That's what Jesus said. So you need the Spirit of God in your life. And that is a prayer. You know, you should pray that every day. You should say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with yourself, God. Give me what I need in order to live my life in your strength, in your wisdom, in your power, under your inspiration. And we're asking God to fill us. God, have your way in my life. Use me, Lord, as your vessel. And we pray this prayer because we need the power of God. We need the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, you have the law. And that's a picture of what the Old Testament was. It was the law. You were following the rules. That's a picture of religion. Religion is where you follow particular rules in order to please a God, I will say. And you and I are not just following rules. We are in a relationship. Hallelujah. Children don't just obey their parents because their parents tell them to do this. We all know this. But they do what they do because of the relationship between a parent and the child. It's the relationship between the parent and the child that enables the parent to have a great influence over the child's life. And you and I are children of God. The children of God, the Bible defines as people who are born of the Spirit of God. Why is that? Because God is Spirit. And so God is Spirit. When we surrender our lives to Him and we're born again or born from above, it is the Spirit that's imparted to us. And so when we stand before the Lord, He's not looking to see, were you a good boy or a good girl, or did you do the things that you did, were you of God or not? What He's looking for is Himself in you. Hallelujah. He is looking for Himself. He is looking for the very Spirit of God that indwells us. And that is why He says, I never knew you, because He is not in you. And if He's not in you, then He doesn't know you in the sense that you don't belong to Him, even though you may be religious. And so it's not religion that saves. It's Christ who saves, and Christ alone. And this is the revelation of the harvest of God. God presenting good gifts. The greatest gift is Christ. He is the good gift that came down from God out of heaven. And you and I are receiving Christ. We have received Christ, and he gives us life, and we live everlastingly. Is that a word? Yeah, I think so. We keep on living. It's a perpetual life. It never ends. You just go from one side to the other. Trust me, I know this well. The Spirit of God will move you into his presence. In Genesis 8:22, it tells us, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God designed things to work a particular way. This is the way life was designed to work. And I would like to use as a theme for today, the ripple effect. The ripple effect. Do you know what a ripple is? You know what a ripple is? Yeah, you can talk to me. It's cool. It's all right. Right? You know, a ripple is something that kind of creates little waves. Have you ever caused a ripple? Have you ever caused it, right? You ever go like to the lake or the pond and you throw the rocks, right? And you skip the rocks, or you get a big rock and you go, kadoom, right? And you just watch it and it goes, woo, 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 right? You done that?
Yeah.
All right, see, I knew you guys were cool. Yeah, right. You know, ripples, they impact beyond the original source. And that is what's interesting about a ripple. And when water is dropped into, even by other water, it creates this ripple. And a ripple is something that moves outward from its source. It radiates out. And as it goes out, these drops of water or whatever it is, it could be a stone, it could be any object that is being dropped into a situation or a circumstance. In fact, it even works in life itself. There are ripples. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to the stadium? Right? Oh, yeah, you have, huh? Right? You've seen them? Have you seen people do the wave? Right? Hey, let's do that. Can we do that? You want to do it? All right, come on. Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, we'll start over here, and we'll go across. All right, are you ready? You guys don't look like you know how to do it. You know how to do it? Oh, there we go. Okay, all right, come on. All right, come on, chaplain. Let's go. Are we ready? What we got back there? Is that, yeah. Come on. Are we ready? Ready? Go. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, that was great. Oh, man. Man, you guys are good. Man, you are good. Let's go back and forth. Let's do it. Can you do that? Come on. Oh, this is really getting fun now. Come on. All right, let's try it again. You guys ready? Go. Yeah. Go back, go back, go back. Yeah. Oh. Man, that really looked cool, man. I got to tell you. All right, all right. All right, we're going to put this into the service now. Every Sunday, we're doing the wave. All right, it's really cool, right? Well, there is no greater experience in life than experiencing God, being in a relationship with God. And when Christ comes into your life, it causes a ripple effect. It causes a wave to begin to happen. God begins to impact everyone around you. They begin to experience the change that God brings into your life. And all of the things that God does for you, it impacts others. And as it impacts others, their lives are changed. And you and I are called to be the people of God. We have an impact because people are hungry. People are desperate. They are looking for a hope, and they're looking for a new life. They're looking for a way that makes sense. You know, the world doesn't even make sense anymore. And it's because the further you get away from God's design, the crazier the world gets. And the further away a person gets from God, the more they lose their minds. In fact, the Word of God calls them reprobate, right? You've heard that term. they have reprobate minds. That means their minds are so far gone in a particular area that they can't even reason properly. You can't even have a decent conversation with them because they've lost their ability to coherently put things together in a sensible way. And that's certainly a picture of what's happening. And the Word of God tells us, written 2,000 years ago, that these things would begin to happen in the latter days. And we certainly see this happening. And so in Galatians 6, 7, Paul tells us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. That's a picture of a ripple effect. You're going to sow something, it's going to create a wave in your life, and you're going to have an experience based on what you do. The things that you do are going to come back to you. They are going to impact you. In fact, in verse 20 of Genesis 8, we see this story of Noah when he built an altar to the Lord after he came out of the flood, after he came out of the boat, the ark. God charged him to come out of the ark with all of his family and all of the animals. Everybody was being released from the ark, and God was sending them out. And so Noah builds an altar. That's the first thing Noah does when he comes out, is he gives honor to God. Hallelujah. Why do you think he's giving honor to God? No one had to tell him. He did this out of the goodness of his heart. Why? Because he just survived and everybody else died. His family is the only family that survived. And this is another historical account that is really incredible. And archaeologists have discovered, you know, this reality that the earth was covered in water. You know, that's not even like something you can really argue with. It's a reality. And the fact is that Noah, when he came out of this ark, he gave God the glory. Hallelujah. He gave God the glory. And when God blesses you, when God sustains you, we need to give God the glory. Hallelujah. We're praising God. We're worshiping God. We're giving God the way. We're like, hey, hallelujah. And we're glorifying God. We're magnifying God because he's worthy to be praised. It says in verse 21, the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. And so here is God. What is it that makes him come to this? It says, he says to himself. He says to himself. What's going on? There is Noah, and he's having a barbecue. He's doing this. He's roasting at this altar to God. He is giving God the glory. And God says, I smell the soothing aroma. Have you ever smelled meat cooking on a grill? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, don't hold back now, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the Lord, he smelled that smell. He said, somebody is having a barbecue. He says, look at that. Well, there's only one guy down there that could do that. And all the rest are gone. It must be Noah. And he smells it coming up. And God says, man, this is so soothing of an aroma. I will never curse man again, even though he's evil from his youth. Even God is acknowledging mankind is evil. They are evil. Your children, they're evil. My children, we're evil. You're evil. I'm evil. We're all evil. And we're evil from our youth. And it's not until Christ comes in that we're transformed. Hallelujah. Christ turns us around. He turns our life around. That's what enables us to love our enemies. That's what's able to enable us to pray for those who would despitefully use us. That's how we can have love and we can have peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. That's why we have all of these attributes stirring within us, because Christ has given us new life. We are born from above. We are not of this earth anymore. We are born of God. And so God, he smells the cooking of Noah. And Noah is there with the altar of God going up, and God is pleased. So we, when we honor God, God will honor us. God will honor you when you honor God. Try it in your life. Just start giving thanks to God. Start blessing the name of the Lord. When God does something, when something positive happens, trust God. Say, Lord, I thank you. I honor you for what you are doing. I thank you for favor. I thank you for getting me home safely. I thank you for my food on my table. I thank you for making provision for me. I thank you for a job that pays enough for me to live. I thank you, God, for your resources and all that you're doing. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my coworkers. I thank you for my friends. You're creating opportunities for me to have a ripple effect in people's lives so that life can be great in the sight of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, when we honor God, God will honor you. Jeremiah 5:23 says, but this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. They do not say in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives us rain in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Here he is, he's acknowledging, he's saying these people, here is Jeremiah, right? This is during the time when the Israelites had rebelled against God. They started taking on the mentality of the nations all around them, and they were there having all kinds of problems. And so now all of a sudden, here is Jeremiah coming out and saying, these people are stubborn and rebellious. Isn't that the mindset of people today? Are people not stubborn and rebellious? How many times have you tried to share good, godly counsel with someone and they don't listen? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. They get resistant, and they even get angry and upset. Why? Because they're stubborn and rebellious at heart. They're stubborn and rebellious at heart. They're against God. They're against the idea of God. They're against doing things God's way. And they just don't want to have anything to do with it. And that is because they have stubborn and rebellious hearts. And God knows this. But God says, I'm not going to destroy them like last time. But I'm not going to just ignore the fact that that's a reality. He says that we ought to give him the glory. We are to acknowledge him. You and I, we recognize God. We praise God. We worship God because he gives the autumn rain, which is the former rain. And then there's the latter rain. It's the move of God. It's this ripple effect. And it says that it is God who appoints the weeks of harvest. God has an appointed week of harvest. There is a set time. God knows. God is moving as God moves. It's not just by chance, not just random. God has a plan, and it's being carried out. And even the seasons, the fact that you can reap crops in the time of harvest, God sets that up. It's God who sets that up. Sower sows the seed, but after that, it's in God's hands. Because if God doesn't do what God does, then the rest is not going to happen. And so verse 22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In other words, it will not stop. We're going to have days and nights. We're going to have summers, winters, falls, all of the seasons. They are going to function the way God designed them to function as long as the earth remains. That does make me think, I don't know about you, but it makes me think, how long will the earth remain? All right, I'm not going to think about that, right? But we do know it will remain until Christ returns, because he said he is coming back. And you and I need to be ready when he comes back. These are the seasons, seed time, and then there's growth season, and then there's harvest season. Seed season, growth season, harvest season. Seed season, growth season, harvest season. You and I are living through these seasons of our life. Every day is tied to this design work of God. And so despite our shortcomings, the promises of God will still stand. God promises what he promises, and just as sure as the seasons are what they are, you and I can trust in the promises of God. And so God made a promise to Noah. He made a promise to him that he would not destroy mankind and all the living things. In fact, in Genesis 9:1, it says, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and what? Fill the earth. This is what he is told. So if God says, fill the earth, how is it that there could be too many people on the planet? I don't understand this. And that is because of the heart of men being desperately wicked. And you and I understand that there is plenty of room on the earth because God designed the earth to be filled with life. And so God says to Noah to fill the earth. Now, this stood out to me because it is the same thing he said to Adam and Eve in the garden in verse 28 of Genesis 1. He says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and what? Fill the earth, and then subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad God gave you that kind of dominion and authority? You are called to have dominion over every living thing that moves. Hallelujah. I tell you, I've seen some stuff. And I tell you, I needed to exercise dominion over it when I saw it move. Oh, yes. And I know you have too. And that's why companies like Raid stay in business. Hallelujah. And that's because people don't want them things creeping around in their houses and in their cars or wherever they are. They want to exercise dominion. And that is from God. That is a gift from God. And God's desire for man is to live out his directives and will to reap his blessings and favor. If you want the blessings and favor of God, you've got to live according to the will of God. You've got to live according to the directives, the ways of God. And it's not really difficult. All you have to do is stick with it. Stick with it. In fact, the Word of God terms it as practicing righteousness. The idea of practicing righteousness means I'm not going to do it the way other people say to do it or the way I feel it ought to be done. I'm going to do it the way God designed it to be done. I'm going to follow the plan of God. I'm going to do things God's way. And when I do things God's way, I will get the blessings and favor of God. And that is what will happen. God will cause things to work together for your good. That means they're not working together for your good naturally. Naturally, things are working against you because it's in the hands of Satan. The world is under his dominion and his authority. We already understand that because that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. So now Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He is the one who has authority in the earth. He is the reason men's hearts are desperately wicked. Christ came that you and I might have life, to dispel the darkness, to cleanse the darkness from our hearts, and to give us new life. This is what Christ came to do. By one man, sin came into the world. By one man, Christ Jesus, you and I are delivered. We are healed. We are set free. It is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the one who makes the way for us. And Genesis 9:2 says, the fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky and with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hands they are given. So here is God giving to Noah the same authority, the same resource, the same power, the same dominion that Adam had in the garden. He's starting over. This is a do-over. God is washed out. He's wiped out humanity, and he left one family to start again. And you and I, we're all related, ultimately. We're all related, all of us. It doesn't matter what country you're from or what nationality, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter, you know, what language you speak. We're all related because every one of us can trace our lineage back to Noah. Noah, he is the only one there. And we all know the science proves this as well. So it's a very interesting thing how science can be so accurate in proving things that the Word of God says happened and that are true, but at the same time, people can deny that the Word of God is the Word of God. But then again, these are people who don't know who they are. So when you're dealing with that kind of mentality, you know you can't trust anything they say because they've lost their mind. Hallelujah. Reprobate. Yes, indeed. And so you and I are called as the people of God. You and I are called to have this dominion. And Noah was given this authority. And it says, every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Oh, hallelujah. Where's Marie now? Oh, yes, you can eat anything. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Just as I gave the green plant. And so, have at it, people. Bless God and eat, hallelujah. Glory to God. He says in verse 11, I established my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. He is establishing a covenant. A covenant is an agreement. We're in agreement with God. When you received Christ, that is a covenant. That is an agreement. We see in verse 12, he goes on, it says, God says, this is a sign of the covenant which I'm making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. This is a ripple effect. The blessings of God have a ripple effect. When you obey God and you align yourself with the word and the ways of God, it will ripple through the generations of your lineage. Your children and your children's children will be impacted by the move of God in your life. And as God moves in your life, so goes your family, so goes your household, so goes the blessing of God. Some of us are here because grandma was praying. Grandma was calling on the name of the Lord. Great grandma was seeking God. They trusted in God. They looked to God. Their faith was in God. And they established a ripple effect that worked its way through the generations. And here we are today giving glory and honor to God. Hallelujah. God is establishing a ripple effect. The ripple effect is what you and I are experiencing life. Oh yes, it has its ups and downs. Yes, it does. But we know in the end, it is going to work out well. All things will work together for your good. And we will experience God in magnificent ways. In fact, God said, this sign of the covenant that I'm making between me and you is not only for me and you, but even for the creatures of the earth. Every living thing for all the generations will be spared because of the promise of God. And verse 14 says in 1 Corinthians 7, the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife. Do you see the principle? Why? Because the person who is the believer is establishing a ripple effect. And it says the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. Hallelujah. 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 And that's why it doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter what the mistakes were that you made. When you come to Christ, all things are made new. Hallelujah. When you confess your sin, you confess your faults, you are renewed, you are revived, you are experiencing the ripple effect of the cross. And the cross has established a patunga in the water that now is going woo, 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 woo for generation to generation to generation. And you and I, we're getting hit with the waves as it comes into our life. And we are being made brand new. Oh, saints of God, you are holy. I am holy. We are holy unto God. We are established in God. You and I have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to do the wave. Why? Because God is doing great things in our life. We are experiencing a ripple effect. You and I are able to rejoice. One person's ripple impacts everyone around them for good and for evil. And that's why when somebody does evil, it always impacts other people. Isn't that right? It impacts other people. So if you do it for good, then you will experience the blessing of God. You will experience the covenant works of God. We're experiencing a covenant experience. When you align yourself with the word of God, when you apply it in your life, when you hear the word of the Lord and obey him and you apply his principles, you will be transformed into the image of God. It has to work because it's in the programming. It's in the programming. It's designed to function that way. And that is why you and I need to walk with God. Well, this is why we do the things that God says to do. Because when you step out of alignment, the ripple starts to change. And it goes from being a good ripple to a bad ripple. And you start having problems and you start having issues and you start having difficulties and you start suffering according to the way you've established because it's out of sync with the way things were designed to work. And that is why we obey God. We obey God rather than men, not because God is all great and all powerful, though he's all great and all powerful, but because he's the designer and he created it to work this way and the way he designed it to function to work, that's the way we live our lives. Hallelujah. Everybody does better when they follow the manufacturer's instructions. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Yeah, isn't that right? Yeah. There's nothing worse than people who want to get creative with the idea of somebody tinkering with your car. Isn't that right? Oh, yes. You take your car to the mechanic and say, you know, if you have any funky ideas, you know, just go ahead, feel free to experiment on my car. I don't mind. Yeah, it's no problem. Sure. When the guy comes to your house to repair something in your house, you tell him, oh, yeah, you know, I don't really care too much what you do, but, go ahead, try anything. Yeah, we're fine with that. It's no problem. And no, that's not what you want. You don't say, yeah, you know what? I came up with this trinket. I made it myself. I think it might work in your device, but it'll save you a whole lot of money. And, I've always wanted to experiment to see if it would work anyway. So what do you think? No. I need this thing to work, and I need it to work well, and I need it to work the way it was designed to work. I don't want it to work according to some funky idea that somebody has. But yet we go through life, and this is what happens to us. You send your kid to school. You think they're learning math and arithmetic and how to read and all kinds of stuff. But no, they're being indoctrinated into the reality that they're not who you told them and made them to be as children of God. And so now things are becoming chaotic. Now there's another ripple that's being introduced into your life. And so we have to keep things in alignment with God. And as the world takes things further and further out into deep space, you and I have to stay grounded in the word of God. and function according to the way things were designed to work. And so you and I can stand by the truths of God's word. Deuteronomy 4:13 says, "So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform." That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the reason I have this verse in here is because I want you to see that God has been establishing covenant agreements with his people. Not just Adam in the garden, not just Noah after he came out of the boat, but here is Moses now when they came out of Egypt. Here's a covenant. And whenever God delivers you, whenever he sets you free, whenever he does a new thing in your life, it's according to a covenant. God is making an agreement with us. He is letting us know that he's called us to perform the truths that he has laid out in his word. You and I need to perform. We have to perform. That means be a doer of the commandments of God. Follow the contract. Stay with what's in the terms of the agreement. God has given us an agreement, a contract, and you and I are living life. And it's designed to take us up. Hallelujah. God has designed it to take us up. When you follow the word of God, the will of God, the principles of God, you will begin to arise as God manifests himself in your life. You will be sustained. He says in James 1:22, James says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who what? Delude themselves." How many Christians are deluded? We know they're deluded because they go out in the world and they do everything the world tells them to do. They buy into every idea. They buy into every principle. They buy into everything. They watch the news and they are sitting there with popcorn, eating in every word, and they just go along with things. They're deluded. You and I need to know that only the word of God is trustworthy. Only the word of God is true. And when you're listening to other people and when you find yourself taking advice and hearing things from other sources, we have to consider the source and we have to filter it through the word of God. And we have to allow the Spirit of God to bring revelation to his people so that we can follow through and accomplish the purposes of God and thrive and survive. God was called us to be a people who are sustained. There's a reason the word of God says in the last days, men are gonna say to the rocks, "Fall on us." They would rather die than live. Why? Because the world is getting that much more crazy. It's that much more insane. People don't have any idea. They're clueless. And they're being taken down this dark path by demonic forces. And because they refuse to hear the word of God and the truths of God, they are deluding themselves. And this is happening to the people of God. James is writing to the Christian church. He's talking to Christian people. Listen, we know the world is, they can go crazy, buck wild all they want. But in the house of God, you're going to allow the world to be your God and lead you into the ways of darkness and find them yourselves in these situations? Don't you know your God fights for you? Do you believe it or not? Do you not know he is your source of provision? Do you not know he is the one who opens doors that no one can shut? Do you not know that he is the God of the impossible? Do you not know that nothing that is formed against you can prosper when the Lord your God is with you and you're walking according to the righteousness of God, when you're listening to the voice of the Spirit of God and there's a move of God around you and God has established you to establish a ripple effect that will change your lineage forever? God will sustain you. God will enable you. God will make a way for you. Have faith in God, people. Have faith in God. Don't just buy into any and everything, but listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says. God is faithful to keep his word. Delusion is the result of not keeping ours. Not keeping ours. When we fail to follow the principles of God, then we will become deluded. Either you believe God or you don't. Either God is your God or the news is. Either God is the one who is leading you and guiding you through life, or you're watching social media and listening, getting your opinions from all these people and engaging in all this discussion. Who cares? Who cares what people are saying? Who cares what people are doing? All I care about is what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to do. And when you stay with the Spirit of the Lord and you follow the principles of God's word, God will sustain you. He will keep you up. God is a God who provides for his people. He is faithful and true. This is what the word of God says. This is who he is. And either you believe God or you don't. But I pray that you would believe God and establish a ripple effect that will change your lineage forever. You'll be sustained and God will make a way for you and he will open doors. Genesis 9:13 says that to Noah says, God says to Noah, I set my bow in the cloud and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. When you see the rainbow in the sky, it is a reminder that God has a covenant with us. Hallelujah. God has a covenant with all of us. God has a covenant. He says, it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud. Oh, saints of God, that is the God that we serve. God establishes the cloud and he sets the bow in the cloud so that you and I can be reminded that God is faithful. So you do not fear, that you do not wobble in your faith, that you will trust in God. How many years has God been setting rainbows in the sky? This is a long time ago, isn't it? Oh yes, you're talking like somewhere around 4,000 years ago. And so God is still faithful to his promise. He is still trustworthy. He is still able to do the things he says he would do, and God is faithful. He says that I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall water become a flood to destroy the flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of the flesh and all that is on the earth. Saints of God, do you not know that God is faithful? God is faithful. When you see that rainbow, I'm telling you, it is a beautiful sight, isn't it? Oh, glory to God. That is God reminding you that he has a covenant with you as a living creature on this earth, and he will sustain us because God intends for us to live. Hallelujah. I don't know where people get this idea that God is out to destroy people. Oh, God is a hateful God. No, God is a loving God. God is trying to make a way out for you. He is trying to help you escape the wrath to come because the wrath is coming. And the wrath, when it comes, God says he knows it's coming and he knows when it's coming. And that is why he is saying, be faithful and true. God will make a way. He will open doors that no one can shut. This is the sign of the covenant. God is giving us the rainbow. It says in Psalm 103, 17, it says, the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and make his precepts to do them. Hallelujah. In other words, be a doer of the word and your children's children will prosper. There'll be a ripple effect that goes through your life. When you establish the principles of God in your life, if you're faithful to God, if you model the right thing, if you demonstrate the righteousness of God, if you stay faithful and true, if you trust in God with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, you will experience a ripple effect of divine provision and demonstration of the fact that God is a way maker and he is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine, because the Lord our God is with us, not just now, but forever. Hallelujah. And you will experience God when you become a doer of the word. When God manifests himself in your life, things will happen. That's why Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have to train up our children. You better train them. If you don't train them at home, when they step outside your door, there's going to be alternative training available. And believe me, they are going to take it. And they're going to take it because they won't have a choice, because it's going to be imparted to them. And all of the people that are in their lives are going to be creating ripples of their own. And those ripples are going to come to your house. And you're going to find your child with a mentality that you're not going to know where it came from. And the reason that happens is because we need to train up our children. We need to train them up. And I tell you, you never know how good your training is until you get out there and have to put it to use. And you can say all day long, oh, I had good training. Oh, I was trained well. Oh, yeah. But then you get out in the world and you get knocked on your back. And you get knocked out cold. You can't make it. You can't keep your mind straight. You can't overcome. You can't seem to get through. You can't make it. Why? Because your foundation was not solidly laid. You did not have what you need. Your training needed to be better. And we all need better training. But I tell you, we need to be in pursuit of God and make sure that we're in training. And we are in training right now, saints of God. Because the word of God tells us, you know what the word of God says about the last days. I don't want you to read that. That's your homework. Look up what God says will be happening in the last days. And then ask yourself, can I endure this and still stand and see the salvation of God? Can I endure the things that are coming and be the representative of Christ that God has called me to be? Can I be the witness that God has called me to be? This is what is coming, and we need to prepare ourselves. No one can prepare you. You have to be ready, because your heart has to be open to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so that you can have a desire to do the will of God and follow the plan of God. In verse 26 of Mark 4, it says, he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. And that's because when the sower sows the seed, the rest is in God's hands. The rest is in God's hands. Now it's going to work according to divine design, the way God designed things to work. And you and I, we need to know that we are to sow seeds. And God will enable the seed to take root in good, solid ground. And when it does, it will spring forth fruit and bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Verse 28 says, the soil produces crops by itself. Isn't that an interesting statement? The soil produces crops by itself. The sower sows the seed into the soil. The soil is an entity of itself. It's got nutrients in it. It's got things in there that are healthy, maybe some things that are not so healthy. But the soil is what the soil is. And hopefully a good gardener prepares the soil. And once the seed goes in, now you can only wait. You can only wait. It says first the blade comes up, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. In other words, it comes to fruition. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts the sickle, because the harvest has come. Saints of God, the harvest is coming. It says when the crop permits. The crop is the fruit. The whole reason you sow a seed is not just because you like sowing seeds. It's because you want a crop. Hallelujah. You want the crop. And when the crop permits, I thought this was interesting language. It says the crop determines when it's ready. The crop determines when it's ready. So that means you and I, we have to make sure that we're walking with God. We're mature in God. And when we are ready, then God can use us. Hallelujah. God can use you. And you and I, we need to make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do so that we can experience the harvest of God. And that's why the word of God says, one sows, another waters, but God brings the increase. Hallelujah. You and I are called to sow, and we water the seeds that cause the ripple effects. And God will cause that thing to grow. You don't think that the word will return void. Any word that the Spirit of God imparts is going to have life in it, and it will spring forth and come to life. The harvest is the reason for the seed. The whole reason for the seed is to reap a harvest. That's why you be careful what you say, because you start saying things that are contrary to the harvest that you're trying to receive, you'll find yourself with no harvest, or you'll find yourself with weeds instead of harvest of good food and good things. And you and I, we are called to be sowers of life, life-giving seed. And that is the word of God. We follow the principles of God. We follow his word. And we don't just say things. My wife stopped me from saying, oh man, my back is killing me. She said, don't you say that. Don't you say that. She says, I'm not doing that again. So I say, oh, yeah, you're right. No, it's not. Yeah. Oh, but I think it's feeling better. Hallelujah. It makes you think about what you say, because a lot of us, we're speaking death into our own lives, and we're condemning our own lineage. We're telling our kids how bad they are, how evil they are, how much of a problem they are, and we're sowing a seed that causes a ripple effect. And you and I, we are called to speak life. Hallelujah. And we speak it more abundantly. And you and I, we know when we have challenges, when you have difficulties, we're not talking about being in denial. We're talking about speaking words carefully so that God can work. Hallelujah. And God can do something afresh and anew in your life. The seed is the reason for the harvest. You and I, we are sowing seed because we want to reap a good harvest. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. This is the harvest. I pray that you're sowing good seed. Sow good word. Sow things that have life in them. Encourage each other. Build people up. You see your child, if he's going a little off the way, you just encourage him. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. Come back into alignment. Speak life into them. Help them to understand who they are. Otherwise, the world will redefine them, and they'll turn into something else. And you will come home not knowing what manner of kids you've got. And that's why we have to sow the word of God into them. And we speak life into them. And we are working diligently to make sure that we're establishing the wave of the Spirit, the move of God, so that we can overcome and experience God. Verse 8 says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit of God will from the Spirit of God reap eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What are you reaping today? Oh, what is your life experience? The situations and the circumstances you go through each day are based on the seeds that have been sown. It's the ripple that has been caused in your life. And you are experiencing life based on what has been sown into your life. And so let us not lose heart, saints of God, in doing good, Paul says. He says, in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. I love that. It says, in fact, other translation says, if you don't faint, if you don't quit before the harvest comes. Hallelujah. I tell you, the devil wants you to quit before the harvest comes. He wants you to sow the seed. He doesn't mind. He doesn't even mind that you water. But during that growth season, while God is working, it takes time. And there is a season of harvest coming. God says, don't quit before the time of the harvest. Don't quit while the growth period is happening. How many people quit before the time? You know when the devil shows up, that means God is about to bring a harvest. You know God is about to do something great. Because otherwise the devil would leave you alone. There would be no trouble. There would be no stirring. There would be nothing that would be rising you up or stirring you up. It wouldn't even get to you. But because God is about to do something great, the devil will always show up to try to force you to quit during the growing season. Oh, don't quit during the growing season. Hold out for the harvest. Hold on. Hold on for the harvest. I like what the Amplified says. It says, if you do not lose heart or grow weary or faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Saints of God, don't faint. Don't get discouraged. Don't let the world rob you of your inheritance of God. The very ripple effect of the Spirit of God, according to the contract, is life everlasting. God has called you to life. He has called you to live. He has called you to experience new life in Christ. And so I pray that you are experiencing God. Let the ripples of God flow through your life from generation to generation. Don't quit before the growth season. You remember we talked about the seasons. We sow the seeds. They germinate, they sprout, they flower, and then they bring forth fruit. Saints of God, you've sown, you've invested, you have pursued God, you're believing God, you're praying and asking God for miracles. You're interceding in life in behalf of the lives of the people around you. You are establishing a ripple. Let the Spirit of God work and don't give up. Don't give out. Don't faint. Let God be glorified. Hold out for the ripple to fully effect and come to a place of fruition. Let God do a new thing in your life. Let God give you a reason to do the wave, saints of God. It's a seed and a growth and then harvest, the ripple effect. Let the Spirit of God be manifested in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. And your promise still stands.
Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me. Yet.
Know that God is using you. God is using you to make a difference, not only in your own lineage, your own house, but even in the lives of the people around you. Let the ripples that you cause be those who bring forth good fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let the Spirit of God arise in the midst of your life. Let the anointing of God enable you and empower you. Let the Word of God wash over you and renew you so that your faith in God would be strong. That you would have an increase in the ways of God, in the things of God, in the Spirit of God. God has called you for such a time as this. God has established you for such a time as this, that there would be a move of the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of your life. No weapon formed against you can prosper. When you align yourself with the Word of God, with the truths of God, there will be a manifestation of God. God, He will fight for you. He will establish you. He will enable you to overcome. He will enable you to see the things that others don't see. He will enable you to hear what other people don't hear. And you will be able to navigate through the challenges and the difficulties of life. And the yokes of bondage will be broken. And you will see the hand of God manifested. And there will be a move of God as you've never seen before. People will be transformed. People will be changed because of the ripple effect of your life. As you have become the person of God that God has called you to be, align yourself with His divine design. Don't let the enemy rob you of your own identity and your own strength and the resources of God that comes down from God out of heaven. God has designed you to function according to his will, that his ways would be accomplished in you, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you, God, that you have established us to make waves and to establish ripples as the word of God is made alive in our life, as we are living according to the divine principles of the Spirit of God, as your anointing destroys the yokes of bondage, and there's a move of the Spirit of the Lord among us. God be glorified. Wash over us. Cleanse us, Lord. Heal us. Deliver us. Lord, enable us to overcome as we allow your word and your spirit to cause a ripple effect in our lives, as the name of Jesus is established and lived out in our lives as the witnesses of Christ, not of this world, but of the kingdom to come, that thy will would be done on earth, even in our lives, even as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
We move the mountains, and I believe. Oh, I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe. I see you do it again. Your promise still stands.